Pray together as we come to this wonderful psalm. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Psalm 23. We thank you for the promises in it. We thank you for its amazing way of comforting us and challenging us. And we pray that your Spirit would work through it this morning as we reflect on it together. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, I'd like to begin just with promoting a resource that's out there in the foyer today. At Berwick Anglican Church, we've published a little tract that has in it Psalm 23 and another psalm and a verse from John's Gospel and the Lord's Prayer. And we made these cards so that people could encourage each other when you're visiting maybe a sick person or a friend who is discouraged or someone who's just upset for whatever reason, that this might be a resource that you might be able to not only give this to them for them to read, but you might read Psalm 23 to them and that you might pray for your friend. And that's really how that they work best. Rather than just give people something, read it with them and pray over them. I generally believe, friends, it's the greatest thing in the world to have a trusted friend read God's word to you and a trusted friend pray for you. It's the best thing in the world. And even if no one has ever done that for you, I hope that you will start the pattern and do it for your friends. And, you know, anytime they'll do it for you. You know, God will work through his word. The Holy Spirit works through the word. And God will do great things when you share it in that way and you pray over people. God will do amazing things, I'm sure. This psalm, Psalm 23, is kind of special, isn't it? I can't explain why. I was counting, I think, at Berwick Anglican Church in my time here, we've had nearly 100 funerals, and at least half of those funerals have included the 23rd psalm. It's immensely popular with all types of people, not just one age range, but even for people that aren't strong in Christian faith, it's extremely powerful, this psalm. I wonder why that is. Even if you've never set foot on a sheep farm, the image of God as the shepherd and we as his beloved sheep resonates, doesn't it? It strikes a chord in our hearts. I personally also like the fact that despite what you might think, given some of the kind of daggy posters that have this psalm, it's actually an incredibly blokey psalm. It's actually incredibly kind of rustic and realistic about life's up and downs, about dark valleys and, you know, good times and bad times. It's not a Hallmark card. You know, it's not a cliche that, you know, like secular people share with other secular people, you know, remembering you in my heart or some silly thing. This is actually deep. And it presents a God who is amazing, God the Good Shepherd. And so I think we have this powerful weapon in God's word. Let's use it to encourage each other. Now, there are three levels at which I want to look at the psalm with you. There are three perspectives or lenses through which you can see the psalm. The first lens is through the eyes of the author of the psalm. And that's part of the original text there. It's a psalm of King David. We know from, it's very fitting, isn't it, from the history, where did David come from before he was a king? He was a shepherd boy. He was like the least of the brothers. The older brothers had sights on being great warriors and maybe one of them could be king. But David was just sort of the handsome, ruddy kind of shepherd boy. Good with animals, not good with people. No one expected him to be a great leader. And so it's fitting that he should bring with him into his kingly rule under God a remembrance of what it's like to be a shepherd and what it's like to be a sheep. And it's incredibly humble, isn't it? That great King David, who served at the peak of the Old Testament monarchy, you know, it was when everything was going great. They were the center of They were the great global nation, Israel, at the time of David. The palace was being built. He was making plans for the great temple to be built. It was the high point, and yet he can still say, I'm a sheep, and God is the shepherd. It's a good starting point for us, I think. Are you acknowledging to God that you are a sheep? You are a helpless sheep that need to be led, that need to be protected. That's who we are. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. And God is here to be our protector. God is here to be our shepherd. You know, if great King David can say, I need God to protect me, then so can an ordinary Christian like you and I. I sometimes wonder if King David missed his shepherding days, all the conflicts and burdens of leadership. And I wonder if there's a little bit of a wistfulness remembering some of that. You know, God makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. You know, God is the one who protects and provides, protects and provides. Now, if you know the story of David's rise to the throne, you remember that there was another king, Saul, who God had decided would be removed from that office. And David had been selected to ascend to the throne of Israel. But there's a period between those things happening. I'm not sure what it would be in months or years, where King Saul knew this was the case, and he was seeking to kill David and take him out. And so David's life is one under constant pressure, one under constant threat. And so David really can pray, he really can say, God has proven himself through the valley of the shadow of death. Even when, you know, the very king of God's people is out to kill me, God was with me. You know, I can fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I suspect even when David became king, it wouldn't have been easy. In fact, there were many threats to his monarchy from outside nations, but also from within the kingdom. People still didn't want him to be king. Even some family members who betrayed him and were trying to take the throne from him. David knows what it's like to be the one who has to be the protector, and yet who's going to protect him? The Lord our shepherd. And interestingly, David talks about God preparing a table before his enemies. I'm sure that David would have prayed again and again, Lord, please remove my enemies. Please get them out of the kingdom. They're not serving you. And actually he acknowledges in the psalm that God as the good shepherd doesn't fix the problems. But what God does do, even though David has these enemies that make him weak and that make him vulnerable, God's grace still overflows in the weakness. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You know, as weak as David feels by the enemies around him, he honors God for showing him grace and mercy in the midst of that, even when the enemies aren't removed, even when the problems aren't taken away, even when the pain remains. Well, this is a good lens, isn't it, I think, to think about King David and what it would have been like for him to pray this psalm. I think the basic insight is that sense of helplessness. Even great King David is totally at the mercy of the Lord our shepherd. How much more you and I? Without God, we're helpless. And even with God, we're still helpless, but we're with God. And that's the difference. The Lord is our shepherd. He's the one, friends, who will carry you through the valley of the shadow of death. He's the protector. Shepherd means protector. Now, another lens, a second lens to understand this psalm, is just through thinking about the story of the life of Israel, the story of what it would be like to be God's people, you know, from Abraham and onwards, you know, through the Exodus out of Egypt. That's the key event, but also into exile. You know, this psalm would have carried them into Babylon through that valley of that shadow. And here I think we can get a sense of God's provision as our shepherd. provision. So we had protection. Now think about his provision. You see, there's a very good set of sermons in the book of Deuteronomy. After they came out of Egypt and they wandered the 40 years in the desert, Moses was preparing them to enter God's provision of the promised land. And Moses gives a speech, and I think David in Psalm 23 has copied or borrowed or built on some of Moses' work. Let me share with you Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. Moses says, "The Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He has watched over your journey through this vast desert. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked anything." Do you see some of the parallels? The Lord is with you. You know, he's guided you. He's walked with you. He's shepherded you. And you have not lacked anything. I shall not want. You know, I think King David picks up on this. God has always been the provider of Israel. The Exodus is the proof of that. And so David invites us to have a kind of a lifestyle where we acknowledge God for every good gift. This is hard to do when you're in comfortable middle-class Australia, where we kind of think we earned all this good stuff we've got, or it's our right. It's just taken for granted that we have all this good stuff. But let the psalm correct you. God is the one. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's Him. It's God, 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 the shepherd. We owe it all to his loving provision because we are his sheep. Friends, will you acknowledge that you owe it all to God, that everything you have is his shepherd-like provision? I think this is why it's good for us to do the 150th celebrations next month and get involved in any way you can. Because what we're really saying is we're celebrating the miracle that there have been Christians worshipping in this place under this particular banner of Berwick Anglican for 150 years. Friends, that's an amazing miracle. God has provided for that. God has shepherded his people through this time. There were like not just bad years, but there were bad decades throughout the last 150 years where the place could have closed or got merged with someone else, or, you know, we're actually hugely blessed by God's provision to be here, and we want to celebrate that. One interesting little observation you can make from the psalm is that it starts and ends with the name Lord in capitals. Do you notice that? The Lord is my shepherd. And of course that always is in our English Bibles as a note to the divine Hebrew name for God, probably Yahweh. It used to be kind of mistranslated Jehovah, but that's not good vowels. Something like Yahweh, that Yahweh is my shepherd. And that what the divine name is meant to evoke is God's covenant love, God's covenanted, promised mercy to his people. And so as God carried Israel in the old covenant, we trust that he will carry us. And we want to celebrate that 150 years God's covenant love has been evident in this place. And we do so, I reckon, with one eye on the future. What has God got in store for us? I'm sure it's, you know, more than we can imagine. In fact, David and Israel look forward to the hope of eternity with God in the conclusion of the psalm. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I suspect because King David wasn't the one to build the temple house of the Lord, that they already knew that the true house of the Lord was heavenly. It was eternal in the heavens, as we learn in the book of Hebrews, not the house of the Lord that Solomon would build. They knew that God, the shepherd, would carry them in his love, in his covenant love, eternally. And that's our hope as well. God protects and God provides. Now, one last little lens to look at this psalm, and you know where I'm going. I'm sure you know where I'm going with this. John 10, and Jesus, our Saviour, our Lord, claims the psalm, and he claims it as his own. You know, and so we look at it through the lens of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. You know, and just as we read the reading, don't take it for granted, because when in John 10 Jesus spoke those words, they actually thought he was crazy. They thought he was either crazy or demon possessed. Why is that? Because he claimed to be God. To say the Lord is my shepherd, Yahweh is my shepherd, for thousands of years, and Jesus to come and say, I am the good shepherd. He's claiming he's Yahweh in the flesh. He's God incarnate. But it's true, isn't it? It's so true. Jesus is fully God and fully man. He is the good shepherd. And I love what Jesus does with the image. He introduces a whole new level of whole new concept to it. He ties being good shepherd with self-sacrifice in John 10. At least three times he says things like, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. What does that mean? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Or verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And again in verse 17 of John 10, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Jesus has proven to be the good shepherd by his death for us on the cross. And just as Psalm 23 was a reminder of God's protection and provision, if you look to the cross, you will see God's ultimate protection, ultimate provision, protection from the consequences of our sin, you know, a provision of a mediator, a provision of a substitute, one who would bear the wrath in our place. That is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. You know, friends, we all have hard times where we need to pray the psalm. We all have dark days. Jesus had worse than a dark day. He had the darkest of days, enduring a punishment that we will never have to see because he's our good shepherd. Isn't that amazing? And we have a great Lord Jesus. He did it so we could be reconciled to God and walk with him. And so the logic seems to be for Jesus, trust me as good shepherd because I died for you. Trust me because I died for you. And friends, that's my encouragement to you today. Keep trusting Jesus because he died for you. There's no one else who's done that. Don't take advice from people that don't love you as much as Jesus does. Trust me because I died for you. You could say, we can pray Psalm 23 to Jesus because he prayed Psalm 22. Do you know Psalm 22? On the cross. That was his psalm. My God, why have you forsaken me? Because he did that for you, you can pray Psalm 23 to him. Please don't, friends, please don't, when you're in the shadows, when you're in the trial, don't stop walking with Jesus. Don't take advice from secular people telling you that it's easier this way. Stay with Jesus. Stay with the good shepherd in the darkest valleys. He knows what is good for you. He knows better than anyone else. It's not often talked about, but I often ponder, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And, you know, the scholars debate these. Some people think there's a rod for whacking away wolves and there's a crook for the sheep. Do you know what I mean? But however you think about it, God, the shepherd has some weapons. And they're not just for you, for protecting you. Sometimes they need to be used on you, don't they? You know, to have a crook and to grab a sheep wandering by the neck, it's blunt. It's going to hurt, but it's for your good, isn't it? It's for your good. I wonder how many times God has given you a bruised neck from his crook, but he's been pulling you from you walking off a cliff of sin. Do you know what I mean? And he saved you from that. And it's hurt. But friends, still trust him. He has your good at heart. He's your good shepherd. I love this quote from Charles Spurgeon. I don't think I've shared it before. Charles Spurgeon was a very famous evangelist from the 19th century in London. Incredibly gifted. But you know what? Also famous for kind of having the biggest church in the world of that time. But also famous for being incredibly clinically depressed and a man who carried very deep, dark shadows over him. You know, a high level of anxiety and a lot of dark nights for Charles Spurgeon. But here's what he says. He's very positive. Glory be to God for the furnace, the hammer and the file. Heaven shall be all the fuller of bliss because we have been filled with anguish here below. And earth shall be better tilled because of our training in the school of adversity. Spurgeon trusted Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in his pain. And he learnt that heaven will be fuller for the joy because of the protection and the provision and, well, the growth that happens in our suffering. Where will we be guided? We'll be guided in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's for our holiness, our righteousness, that the shepherd leads us through dark valleys. Friends, don't give up on him. Don't give up on him. Trust him. Trust his protection. Trust his provision. So three lenses. The lens of David, the shepherd king. The lens of protection. The lens of the story of the church of Israel. The lens of provision and the lens of Jesus, the good shepherd, who laid down his life for you on the cross. Friends, when trouble hits, whether this way or another way, will you read Psalm 23? Will you pray it again and again and again with tears? Will it be worn out in your Bibles at home? Will you read John 10 and pray through it? Before you go on the operating table, ask someone to read to you Psalm 23 and John 10 and ask them to pray for you. When your friend is the one in the valley and God has put you in their life, will you read to them Psalm 23 and John 10 and pray for them? Ask God to grow you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake as you walk trusting in the good shepherd who laid down his life for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge before you that we are helpless sheep, that we are entirely dependent on you for your grace and mercy and for the power of the cross to be at work in our lives. Father, we pray, please, that we will trust your Son, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for us. We thank you for his sufficient death and for this sufficient and endless and powerful proof that we can trust him in our own difficult, dark days. So help us, we pray, and use us powerfully by the Holy Spirit to encourage each other, to point each other to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, as we read this psalm with each other, as we read John 10 with each other. And as we pray, I pray that your Holy Spirit will work powerfully through this church and through every believer. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Amen.